from the Carter Subaru Studios. This is the G and Ursula Show with G Scott and Ursula Voitin.
It is Fresh Fridays here on the G and Ursula Show. Happy Friday to everybody. Good morning, Ursula.
Good morning, G. We've had a busy show so far, and it is going to continue in this 10 o'clock hour. Coming up after Heather's newscast at 10:30, we're going to talk about this new study that says one in five U.S. adults have bet money on sports in the past year. We're going to talk about whether that is problematic, some observations that we have about that particular topic, and we want you all to weigh in as well. 888-973-5476, 888-973-CHIRO. Are you part of that statistic? And then right now, we want to bring on a guest, which is something that we do every Friday.
What's new at 10?
Michael Medved from our sister station, 770 KTTH, joins us right now. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Ursula. Good morning, G.
Good morning.
I want to get right into it because we have a ton to cover. So we're going to start off locally. Yesterday, G and I were talking about this story out of the Seattle Times that pointed out that Governor Inslee is still raising or collecting campaign funds. He's got $600,000 so far, and it raises the question whether he is going to run for a fourth time. So we want to ask you about your thoughts on a potential fourth term for Governor Inslee and who your party should run against him.
Well, the first question about the fourth term for Governor Inslee, give it a rest, Jay. I mean, three terms, leaving office with a reasonable popularity, but not anything tremendously commanding. The whole point about being a successful politician is listening to the voters a little bit, hearing them, and I have not heard any
groundswell
surges. Yeah. Oh, please. What will we do without Jay Inslee? I think Bob Ferguson would be particularly upset about this. Maybe Hillary France, she might be the candidate. And in terms of looking for a Republican gubernatorial candidate, I think part of that depends on how Republicans are going to perform in this current election. And one of the big items of news, and it might be something that you were planning to bring up, so I don't mean to preempt you, but Tiffany Smiley is just about neck and neck with Patty Murray. Patty Murray, in the most recent polling from Trafalgar, has a below 50%, which for a senator who's been there for five terms and is running for a sixth term is a very weak showing. So the entire universe changes in the state of Washington if a moderate Republican, and I hate to say it because it might hurt her with some of listeners, but Tiffany Smiley is basically a moderate mainstream solid Republican conservative. She's not somebody out on the ledge or way out there in the other universe. And the fact is, if she wins, this is a tremendous shot in the arm to the entire Republican Party in the state of Washington.
I was going to bring her up because I was talking to both G and Chef this morning, and I said, you know, I think Senator Murray is hurting herself by allowing this narrative that she is not willing to debate. That's one thing. I think Tiffany Smiley has gotten a lot of traction recently. And then on top of that, she has also taken some steps, which we brought up last week. Tiffany Smiley has to make herself appear to be even more moderate by erasing or removing some of her earlier claims of doubts about the 2020 election, which
she took that back.
She removed that.
Okay.
Yeah. And so you describe her as a moderate Republican.
Mainstream Republican.
A mainstream Republican.
Term, which is a better term.
Yeah.
Is that?
And go ahead.
No, you go ahead. You go ahead. Sorry.
No, it's look, she's been on my show a couple of times. She is actually responsive to questions. There's nothing fringy about her. She has an extremely compelling personal story. She and her husband have been heroic figures in fighting for our veterans and our fighting people. She has backgrounds as a nurse. I'm extremely partial to nurses generally. And look, I think that the reason I brought up Patty Murray in this context you're asking about, Jay Inslee, is, okay, both very popular public servants. They've both been there forever. And I do think in the country, and this includes conservatives and liberals and independents and moderates and people all over the political spectrum, a little bit of a time for a younger generation and for some new life and some new energy. We need that on the national basis, and we certainly need it on the statewide basis, too.
Michael, you said that she's more of the mainstream Republican, and Ursula was just kind of explaining how she's kind of removed the idea of the 2020 election. Is that a mainstream Republican thing that about the 2020 election?
No, and the point is, it's something that I've said a lot, and we've talked about it, and you certainly know how I feel, is that any Republican who actually wants to win an election,
they have to remove that, huh?
2022, you've got to acknowledge reality. And the reality is that Donald Trump lost. The other reality is that he would lose again if he were nominated. And Republicans who actually care about winning rather than just posing and following conspiracies have got to acknowledge that.
So do you believe that back then when she had the belief that the 2020 election that Joe Biden, President Biden, did not win, do you believe she really thought that then? Or do you believe that since that has happened, maybe she still thinks that way, but she has now distanced herself from that opinion to help her win?
I haven't seen any strong indication that she ever was a stolen election promulgator, that she was ever strongly aligned with that point of view. Now, again, what I would imagine that she would say and her advocates should say is that it has become more and more clear. I mean, literally every week there is more evidence that the people who are trying to sell this stolen election stuff are, how do we put it, are irresponsible. At the very best, and fraudulent at and the more likely level. In other words, it's not like we have mounting evidence that there was an election steal. We have mounting evidence that there was a lot of craziness from creeps like Steve Bannon and others to try to manipulate this conviction or claim of a stolen election.
So just on the Tiffany Smiley thing, so if she were not to win against Senator Murray, is that what your point was, that she would be someone who should run for governor?
No, it is that there would be a lot more people who would consider a run. There would be a lot more energy. I mean, it has been so long since the Republican Party has won a significant statewide race. I mean, Rob McKenna came close to doing that, and that wasn't that long ago. I think Bill Bryant was a good candidate when he ran for governor. But the point is that a victory for Tiffany Smiley would be a message to every Republican out there that, wait a minute, we are not talking about a state like Massachusetts, where it's almost impossible. And by the way, even Massachusetts, Charlie Baker, the outgoing Republican governor, won two landslide victories in that state because he was honestly and genuinely moderate. And Charlie Baker would have won a third term if he'd been running this time. The polling in Massachusetts is fascinating because it shows Maura Healey, the Democratic nominee, winning 3-1.
Okay, so I want to just get back because my opening question was what Republicans should run against Governor Inslee, or who should run for governor for the Republican Party. We already established yesterday that Lauren Culp is not the answer. and then I brought up Rob McKenna, who I have voted for in the past. I don't think he is so essentially it sounds like maybe there are some names that we aren't thinking of right now who might consider running if they see that, hey, you can run as a more moderate or more mainstream Republican instead of someone who espouses conspiracy theories, etc. Is that right? Am I getting it? Okay.
Yes, entirely. And by the way, the Republican Party still enjoys some support from the business community. And look, some of the business leaders of this state people with strong backgrounds in actually running companies and making jobs and building an economy could also bring a breath of fresh air. I think a Republican with an independent streak and somebody who is a Reagan conservative.
Do you have any names?
Not a Trump conservative. I don't.
Okay.
And
okay.
Because, again, there's an awful lot to think about in this election.
Michael,
the election
you don't
of 2024.
Have any, you said you want Governor Jay Inslee, which I ain't going to lie to you. I'm kind of agreeing with you. Give it a break. I agree. But you don't have any Republican names to give us? We need help.
No, because, no, honestly, we don't. What we need is to get through this election without actually destroying the Republican Party.
Why don't you have any names? Why don't if you Michael because Medved, don't have any names, then other Republicans listening need help.
Can I tell you why?
Why?
I have not thought about it. It hasn't even occurred to me. Because 2024, talking about the presidency, and by the way, all of this changes in terms of what Republican would actually be willing to run for government, whether or not Trump runs for president. Mm. Because if Trump runs for president, the divisions in the Republican Party would be so formidable. If he runs, you don't know whether he's actually going to win the nomination or not. And I think that there are a lot of Republicans who might consider running for president. Now, a year ago, I would have said Russell Wilson would be a great candidate. Sure, a lot better than Herschel Walker, you think?
Oh, Michael, you are too funny. Okay, speaking of potential candidates, Ron DeSantis from Florida, I know you're not a big fan, but there are many people who are fans of his. But I want to get your take on what he did with the two planes filled with migrants being sent to Martha's Vineyard. This is what he said.
Though this group of mostly Venezuelans who crossed the southern border were not expressly headed for Florida, the governor hinted last month.
And we're also willing to help Texas.
Florida would still pitch in and pay.
The minute even a small fraction of what those border towns deal with every day is brought to their front door, they all of a sudden go berserk.
No berserk here on Martha's Vineyard, just a rally to respond.
We're trying to coordinate to help all of you.
Translators, donations, beds at a church, food in a school cafeteria.
Okay, so it sounds like a lot of people in Martha's Vineyard were willing to help, but many of the migrants who were in those planes had no idea where they were going. Do you think this was something that helped DeSantis?
Probably. I mean, basically, in terms of helping his political energy, I think it's a terrible thing to do. I think it's shameful.
Yes.
And it's shameful because these are people who are running away from Venezuela. And one thing that conservatives ought to recognize is, okay, why should refugees from that communistic dictatorship, that evil dictatorship that Republicans speak out against, why should refugees be treated as political pawns, as if you were somehow getting even with the rich liberal people on Martha's Vineyard? And the truth of the matter is, they're not coming here because they're looking for someone to take care of them. They're coming here because they want an opportunity. Like most immigrants, they want to go to work. And we happen to have a lot of jobs that are available right now. And these are not people, by the way, who were arrested or who were trying to cross illegally. They reached the border, some of them after walking for 1,200 miles. They reached the border and they crossed the border and registered with the U.S. government. And so now you have some governors playing games who are going to use them as human props. Ha, 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 ha. Look what we're doing. We're moving immigrants around. I think it's sickening.
Thank you for saying that, because I feel exactly the same way. And I think that when we look at immigration reform, that's an area where I think the two sides can find some agreement and find some consensus.
Because and everyone, we were hopelessly close in doing that back in the George W. Bush administration. And you know what? That was blocked by a senator named Barack Obama, among others. In other words, the Democrats, including Harry Reid and Barack Obama, back at the very end of the Bush administration in 2007, did not go along with the immigration reform that had the support of 21 Republican senators at the time.
Okay, Michael, I'm going to have to interrupt you because you've got to admit that there have other times we've been very close, and it is Republicans in the House who have blocked it. Everyone agrees our immigration system is broken. There was a time when Lindsey Graham, Marco Rubio, Chuck Grassley, other prominent Republicans were interested in pushing for bipartisan progress. And I think after President Trump came along, it's like people are fearful to show that, hey, yeah, maybe we can agree that DACA and Dreamers should have a path to legal citizenship, and that there are people who should find ways to become legal citizens of the United States. And there are certain populations of the migrant population that are very critical to our well-being. I mean, think about it. So many of them were considered critical workers during the pandemic.
No, there's no question about it. The disaster for immigration reform, the biggest disaster, was the death of John McCain. Because when he was there, and even as a presidential candidate, it at least was considered acceptable for Republicans to try to work constructively with Democrats. And this, again, is a big failure for Joe Biden, because making an attempt, at least, to try to set out a bipartisan immigration reform bill that put a priority on border security, that didn't just go out and say the border is secure, like Kamala Harris has said, but actually address some of the concerns about border security, to enhance the border security, to send a very clear message that we do not want people coming into this country without authorization and illegally. However, we're going to make it easier for people who are coming here to try to fill jobs that need to be filled. We're going to try to make it easier for people to come in legally, after checking their backgrounds, making sure they're not part of criminal gangs, they're not part of drug running. This is not an unfixable problem.
Yeah. Michael, before you go, I just have a question for you. I'm writing this down. Who are the top, in your opinion, who are the top two candidates that the Republican Party will pick in 2024 to run for president?
I literally can't predict, because I think the biggest question is, I don't believe that in the end of the day that President Trump is going to run. And I hope and pray that he does not, because he is a divisive figure. He has had his chance. And
I am
enthusiastic.
Who was the other one? That's one.
I'm enthusiastic. That's the one I don't want to run.
So you don't want Trump, so that's one. Who would be another
one? I'd love to see Tim Scott run for president. Oh. And I would love to see Ben Sasse of Nebraska run for president.
How come you didn't bring up Ron DeSantis? You don't think Ron DeSantis is the guy?
He's never like Ron DeSantis.
No, Ron DeSantis is very bright. Mm. He's very capable, but he's a show-off and I think has tendencies toward the demagogic side. He would not be my first choice.
I'm going to write this down, because if one of those two end up in 2024, you're going to be on the show and you're going to have to answer why the Republican Party picked them, sir.
Picked Ben Sasse or Tim Scott?
No.
They picked them because they could win. And because they would help the country and maybe help bring the country together. And that's the kind of Republican or Democrat that we need. There's also a real question of who a Democrat's going to run. Because I don't believe that Joe Biden at the age of 147 is going to be running for president.
You're with us too.
Wow, you hit an age joke. Interesting. You ever seen the movie Weekend at Bernie's, sir?
One of my favorites.
I'm literally not laughing. It's one of my favorite movies too. But that is going to happen in 2024. There is no
sides.
There is no bench for the Democrats, and it will be Weekend at Bernie's.
Okay, I hope for the sake of the country, for the sake of the Democratic Party, and for the sake of the Republican Party, for all of us. That's not true. John Kennedy won election in 1960 by saying, we can do better. And I think we can do better.
I agree.
All right. Thanks, Michael. Appreciate you. Have a great weekend, sir.
You bet.
All right.
Hey, coming up next, I really got mad yesterday because right now, 1 in 5 U.S. adults have done this past year. And I want to know if you are one of them. We'll talk to you about that next. Gene Ursula.
While since I've heard this song. Welcome back to the G and Ursula Show. Thank you so much for hanging out with us on this Fresh Friday. And we're going to talk about sports gambling because there's this new report out from the Pew Research Center that says just under 20% of Americans have bet on sports in the past year. Is that a problem? Has it changed the way that you watch the games or enjoy the games? And I'm going to start with you, G, because I think you are in these sports environments much more than I am. Yeah. Have you noticed a difference since it's kind of really come on now with sports betting?
Right after the pandemic and during the pandemic, I noticed it. I've been watching sports my whole life. It's no thing. Like every analogy that I have, metaphor that I have, yes. most of the time either yes. comes from sports or relationships. And the part, Ursula, that makes me sad, because this is a time where people will tell me, gee, mind your own business. Don't worry about other people. That's fine. That's cool. But there has been a very, like, if you, anytime you're playing, especially fantasy football, if you're doing fantasy football, you're seeing the ads. You go to look up your favorite sports teams, you're seeing the ads. And by the way, I don't have a problem with ads. So for an example, going to a concert at this casino, I don't have a problem. Going to go and gamble at the casino, I don't have any problem. Here's where I specifically have a problem. DraftKings used Kevin Hart, which by the way, Kevin Hart was fantastic in this commercial. In this case, DraftKings was saying to all of the people, hey, you pay $5. So Ursula, all you had to do was bet $5. When you go to bet and put in your $5, DraftKings was giving you $200. It reminds me of New Jack City, played by Wesley Snipes back in the day. When you go to the Carter, some of the people that really understand what I'm saying right now. When you go to the Carter, and they're basically saying, you come get that hit, the first hit
are
free.
Are they promising everyone gets
$200? $5. All you got to do, $5, gets you $200.
Okay, that's like a $195 profit. Where do I sign up?
So you go, as long as you make that bet.
I don't even know how that works.
So now you have $200 in credit, and so now you could go ahead and make that bet on that team or whatever your bet wants to be. Now, I hope you lose the first time, because if you win that first time.
Yeah, you're hooked.
Right? It's like I said, it's like going to the Carter in New Jack City and getting that hit for free.
What I'm wondering,
and
though,
coming back.
Is that $200, do you get to take it out, or do you have to use that?
You got to use that.
See, there's
you
the catch. That's the catch.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, there's always a catch. And I've got to say, because one of my sons does like to do some sports betting, not in big amounts. And what I have told him, because obviously I've shared that I like to go to Vegas on occasion, and I enjoy, I think one of my I don't drink, I don't smoke, but one of my things I do is that I gamble on occasion, obviously. And I always say you have to be willing to lose that money. Anyone who tells you that they're going to be a winner, they're not telling you the truth, or you should not base any sort of gambling as a source of income, because it's usually going to be a drain on your income. And for some people, it is very, very, very addictive. It's one of the worst addictions that you can have. Mm-hmm. But you were saying that it even changes when you go and you know that people have money on a game, that it changes the way the watching experience is.
If I, Ursula, come over to your house and hang out and watch the Seahawk game with you and Long Live Mark, and we just chilling, you know what I'm saying? You made some food, or Mark's made some food, and we're watching the game. You know, we're going to be enjoying ourselves. Now, imagine the energy in that situation as opposed to the energy in the sports book in the casino when every single minute and second of the game draws emotion. You know what I mean? You got mortgage payments on the line. You got rent on the line. And for people to say, well, gee, how do you know? I don't know.
But I know.
I'm not. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying I know. But don't you guys don't see where this is heading? This the sports gambling is a huge deal. NFL teams now, the Raiders, sponsored by these sports books, right? These teams are required to let you know about injury reports so you can see if the line is going to move. All I'm saying is, Ursula, when you go to and have a little fun, you take a little $40, $50, whatever the case might be, and you go to the slot machines, right?
Uh-huh.
The energy surrounding the slot machine is different than the energy on sports gambling. That is a different world. And the fact that you can watch a game right now and have no money on the game and still have adrenaline. Now imagine if you have money on that. It's just a different world, and I'm really afraid for a lot. In Illinois and Pennsylvania, you could do it from your cell phones.
Yeah. I mean, I think the energy put into making all this betting available, the same kind of energy needs to be put into, hey, this is what you could do if you have an addiction. Because, I mean, you said that there are, you know, people just, it's fun at the slot machines. Oh, no, there's some diehards, too,
where
they're probably losing their house. Because, I mean, where I see this the most is in Vegas. And sometimes I have to just look and I go, it's sad. When I see, you know, people thinking nothing of going 200, M as in $200, not 200 credits per hit. And you know the odds are so against you that if you aren't looking at it as just, you know, this is a form of entertainment, but I know what my limit is and I'm not going to put anything in jeopardy. But it's not that easy.
Yeah.
I think it's insane that we've expanded access to gambling. We know that gambling ruins lives, and there are tons of people who can gamble responsibly. And that's fine. There are a lot of people who can use drugs responsibly, never become addicted, right? But we know that drugs ruin people's lives, and we've decided as a society, yeah, let's go ahead and open that Pandora's box up a little bit more here. Let's crack it wide open. Let's get you on that Seahawks game here this weekend. And it's just crazy to me.
You know what else is crazy?
What's that?
Whenever I go to Vegas, I see zero sign of a recession. You and I were there.
That's true.
Well, what are their main businesses?
It is shocking to me when I just see the sheer number of people acting as if money is nothing.
There's two things that confuse me, Ursula. Let's just say you go to Vegas and you say, oh, man, I lost $250. And then you have those people like, that's nothing. But I'm confused because all of the people that are saying, that's nothing, you guys are always the ones telling me that you win all the time.
Anyone who tells you they win all the time is not telling you the truth.
All right. Now make sure you guys go and see New Jack City this weekend. Because I'm telling you right now, that reference was fire. Coming up next here on the Gene Ursula Show, in scenarios, find out what happens when someone agrees to dog sit for their mama's friend. We do that next. Gene Ursula. It is the Gene Ursula Show. Coming up at 11 o'clock, it'll be time for Agree to Disagree. But right now, it's scenarios.
Here we go, yo. Here we go, yo. So what's the scenario?
I have a problem. One of my mom's best friends is going away for 2 weeks. It's the first time she's left her dog home, and she's been really concerned about it. So she's looking for a house sitter to watch her dog. I'm not doing a whole lot, so my mom hooked us up. And she asked if I'd take care of her dog. I said, sure. I mean, it is my mom's best friend. After I agreed, then I got this whole list of expectations. Here's some. I have to walk him 3 to 4 times a day and feed him twice a day. That's no problem. I can manage that. Then I found out that the dog weighs 140 pounds. And she says he pulls intensely when he sees other dogs and people. Then she said she expects a text with pictures for each interaction. I have to text at the beginning of the walk, during the walk, and at the end, some with feedings and some with playtime, but at least 3 times per day. She says it's okay to stay at the house, but I must leave all her personal belongings alone, and she has cameras in the house to check up on it. Okay, that's cool. I'm not going to touch her stuff. Then she attached a written agreement to sign, agreeing that I will be held liable if anything happens to her dog, her home, her belongings. I just got all of this. She's supposed to leave in 2 days, and I'm not at all comfortable with any of this. I talked to my mom, and my mom says that I need to do it because I said that I would. I have to keep my word. I did agree, but not to all this. What do I do? 888-973-5476 is the State Roofing text line. Ursula, you're up the bat first.
Mom is being unreasonable. Mom is expecting him to do what she would get if she were to go to Rover, because or Rover.com or one of those other dog sitting services that you pay for, because that's exactly what they do when we have Scooter stay with them. He doesn't feel comfortable. He needs to tell mom, I'm not going to be able to live up to your expectations. That's just too much. I agreed to do this. I didn't know all the rest of it, so I could do it. But the best I'm going to be able to do is walk your dog and pick up the poop and feed him. How's that? If you don't, if that's not good enough for you, you need to find someplace else, and I'll help you.
You got a weird relationship with your mom. How do you not even know what kind of dog she has?
That is weird.
You don't know that it's 140. You referred to it as your mom's best friend, and you've never met this friend, seen this friend. I would just like to take this time to say to people, stop trying to make your family do things for you that you could easily have pay someone else to do. If you can afford to take a taxi to the airport at, 11 o'clock at night, pay for the taxi. If you can afford the sitter for your dog, pay for the sitter. And I say this as a hypocrite because my family was picked up at like 2 o'clock in the morning by my father-in-law. So thank you.
You were preaching. You were preaching. No. This whole friends don't ask friends to pick you up from the airport and take you to and from, or ask you to help them move.
All wrong.
Hey, look here, man. We too old for that. We're just too old for that. You're going on this lavish trip, and you're going, we're going here, and we're going to be going there. Oh, it's going to be great. I'll take pictures. I'll send it to you. Hey, can you drop us off at the airport? What? You mean in all of that extravaganza that you have planned, you didn't carve out any change to get you to and from the airport? That's a problem. But let me get back to this topic. Let this be. Uh-huh. Here's what you should do, sir. You need to watch the dog. Because you agreed to do something and you didn't do your due diligence on this. You just said yes. And because if you end up saying no and not doing this, this is going to possibly mess up the relationship between your mom and her friend. So in this case, this is what I would do. I would still go through with it. I would still do the best I can. Maybe you missed out on some of the text messages. Maybe you didn't do a good job of it. But at the same time, the good news is they'll never ask you to do it again.
But
go through it.
Did you say mom's friend's dog or mom's? It's mom's dog.
It's mom's friend.
The dog is her best friend, right?
The best friends. It's the best friend's dog.
Oh, that's why she doesn't. He didn't know about that. I thought you were referring to the best friend was the dog.
No, the best friend's dog.
Oh, I gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's not hurting the. No, that's just a.
I mean, I'm just saying, go through with it.
Go through with it, and do your best.
Do your best.
But it's, you're never going to have to do it again.
Mm-hmm.
And
learn from this.
You're not going to be, they're never going to know whether you walked them 3 or 4 times a day, please.
Ursula, have you ever?
I've never asked anyone who's watched Scooter, can you walk him 3 to 4? I just say, can you make sure he just goes to the bathroom, not in my house?
Yeah. But have you ever agreed to do something, and then you're like, oh, I gotta go through with this, but more, I wish I would have done a better job of vetting this situation.
Yeah, but I've never been asked to do anything extreme, and I'm willing to drive people to the airport because I know sometimes it's really an odd time, especially like if it's elderly, and then also really good friends offer things like, hey, I know you're moving, can I help you move? And there's inevitably always someone who offers to help.
I don't know why you use elderly, because I ain't had nobody elderly ask me to take them to the airport. It's always capable folks. Usually they're in their 20s. Nah, player. There's all kinds of ways to get to the airport. Nick, what do you got?
I feel bad for this person being stuck in a corner, but I feel like they got to really follow through with the responsibilities. Just be ready when you're out on the dog walk. They're yanking because it's a big boy, it sounds like. Maybe well next done. Time go online, find a professional for this 130-pound big boy.
Well done. Agree to Disagree comes up next, and Washington State, go Cougs, is in the story. Gene Ursula.